Hello, all my lovelies. Sorry I didn't post last weekend. It was my birthday and I was sick. But with all the extra content I've been posting, I hope it wasn't too sad for you. And I'm hoping you're enjoying my links to beauty in the world in the episode show notes. These things are just little items out there I wish everyone would know about. They kind of reaffirm my belief that this world is a gorgeous place. Even though the world is full of stress and heartbreak, I want to provide these little touchstones that you can visit anytime so that you can go back to remembering why this world is a very worthy place and a place filled with beauty. George Washington Carver said, "Education is the key that unlocks the golden door to freedom." And that applies to my guest this week, Guy Morris, who shares two stories of magic in his life, two miracles that changed him forever. Of course, as you'll already guess, one is about going to school, but the other one, I'll let him reveal. Suffice it to say, this lovely human is the epitome of hope and resilience. But honestly, the more I'm interviewing people, it seems like resilience is something that most of us have needed to use, which says a lot about the trauma in the world, but speaks volumes for those of us who are out here surviving and making the world a better place, even still. Please remember to rate and review the podcast, and please click on subscribe or follow to never miss an episode. And remember to share the heck out of it, please. It helps so very much. So now, my very sweet interview with Guy Morris.
Now, remind you, 10 years before this, I was sleeping under overpasses. I was getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning so I can go stand in line to work with the migrant workers in the ranches of California. I was stealing food and clothes because I couldn't buy them. So within 10 years, I had gone from completely hopeless to, my gosh, maybe anything is possible. But I was working 12, 14-hour days, 6 days a week, and I was exhausted all the time. And at one point in time, we were going to a church in Tucson, Arizona, my wife and I, and my wife was already pregnant. I already was a father. So I was trying to decide I needed to do something better than the truck driving to make a living, where I could have a little bit of energy when I got home. And so we actually went to prayer that day. And in the prayer, and I'm simply asking, Lord, is it okay? You know, the church is telling me I'm not allowed to send my wife to work because I'm supposed to provide for the family, which is cool. But can I send her to work just for a couple of months so I can go take enough time off where I can actually go look for another job? Because you can't go find another job when you're working 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. It's sort of a, you know, once the good news is you got the job, the bad news is it's the last job you'll ever have. So we went to prayer. And I kid you not, I'm in prayer, and I it's one of the maybe three times in my entire life I felt like I received a word from the Lord, which is not something I say very lightly, because I think a lot of people who do are oftentimes reading their own thoughts into what they're hearing. Well, this was definitely not something that I'd ever thought of. I'm not worried about your work. I want you to go to college. And I'm like, what? I said, I didn't even finish high school. I said, I never took an SAT test. I said, God, you got to get with the program here. You're obviously not talking to somebody else. I must have gotten the mixed channel. So I just ignore it. I'm praying some more. And I just get this really, really strong impression. I want you to get up right now, go to the phone, call the university and ask for an application. You are going to go to college. And I get up. And I go to do it, and I thought, okay, well, this must be one of those weird test things. You know, I'm supposed to be tested for my faith, right? That's what they were teaching us. And okay, well, it's never going to happen, but it's going to go through the motions. I'm sure that this has something to do with me learning something. I don't know what. I get up, I go to the phone, and my wife says, "What are you doing?" And I tell her, and she starts laughing. And now, anybody who knew me knew that I was a smart aleck. My mother had a wicked tongue that could make a sailor cry. But I wasn't very smart. I couldn't read. I had to get other people to help me read. I was functionally illiterate. And I told her what I felt, and she laughed. She said, and I said, "I know." I said, "It's ridiculous. This is never going to happen. It's like the Lord's taking, you know, saying, hey, look at that monkey here. Let's send the monkey to college." And so I did. And I had to get my wife's help to complete the application. And that's how functionally illiterate I was. And so I had to pick a major. Oh, electrical engineering. What does that guy do? What does that do? You know, it's one of the hardest majors in the world. And I hadn't taken any SAT scores. So I thought, well, I'm not going to have any SATs to give in. I said, this is just an exercise in me. I don't know what's going on. Well, I go through the motions. I'm not telling a soul other than my wife what I'm doing, because I'm embarrassed by the fact that I was doing something so ludicrously insane, because there was no way I was qualified for college. And it's, oh, by the way, at this point, it's now early August. College starts in a month. It's like a month, 6 weeks away. I said, there's no way. I said, you know, they're already full, their rosters. I said, I really have no idea what I was doing it, but I did it anyway. And lo and behold, I got accepted. I was 28 units short of the minimum requirements to get in. They were going to waive that and let me make those units up as I went. And my first thought was, holy cow. I thought college was for smart people. They'll let any idiot in. I thought, there's no way they should have let me in. I said, what is good? I said, this must be one of those really bad colleges. It was a state school. So I threw the letter away. The very next day, now, mind you, I hadn't said anything. My ex-wife hadn't said anything to anybody. I got an email, or not an email, it was long before email. I got a letter from my father-in-law. He was very concerned that I was going to be able to provide his daughter with a level of income and support that she deserved. He thought that I had gotten a raw deal as a child, given my upbringing. But he said that you have to work for what you want in life. And he said, if you're willing to do, you will have to have a job. But if you're willing to go to school part-time or you go to school, I will help pay for your tuition and books. You'll still have to pay for your rent and your food and stuff like that. But I'll be willing to help you pay for your tuition and books. Which at the time was, you know, not that much. It was a state school, but it was certainly affordable. It wasn't like going to Ivy League or anything like that, but it was way more than I had. And I thought, wow, this is the universe telling me they wanted me to make a change. And I said yes. So I went to the trash. I actually went to the dumpster that we'd already taken the trash out. I went to the dumpster. I found our bag. I did the dumpster dive. I had to pull out the letter. And 2 weeks later, I was in college, absolutely bone-chilling terrified that I didn't belong. I wasn't as smart as these other kids. They all seemed to know what they were doing. I had no idea. They seemed to understand the lesson plan. It was my first time getting a lesson plan. I was absolutely unprepared, absolutely terrified to my bones, but I felt that this was what I was supposed to do, and this was my chance to change my stars.
I hope you all enjoyed this really lovely episode and my interview with Guy. I really appreciated his story about his father-in-law and how his father-in-law had his back. Sometimes it only takes us looking for the need. Where is the need in your community, in your group of friends? And it can be as simple as taking someone out for a coffee or loaning someone $20 for gas. But his father-in-law saw the need, and he helped Guy reach the point where he is today. And we need those little angels in our lives, quite honestly. But I also really love the story about Guy finding love later in life and how that's changed him and how he recognizes that it's changed him and changed his life forever. I have a gorgeous poem I'd like to share with you from The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. Love gives not but itself and takes not but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed. For love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. And what a gorgeous thought for all of us to remember that we are all in the heart of God, always. Whatever that God looks like, even if you're an atheist, you are a part of this world and you are precious and you are held and cherished within it. I need to thank Guy for his incredible interview and for sharing his stories. And I'd like to thank all my listeners. And please remember, ratings and reviews and sharing the podcast, I absolutely thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Guy. Be resilient. And be complex. And be who you want to be as long as you're not hurting other people. This world loves interesting and gorgeous human beings who are fulfilling their goals, their lives, bringing more beauty in this world. And so I urge each of you to be like Guy, not give up hope, and keep striving for bringing more beauty into the world. See you next week for the next episode of the pod. And until then, I hope your world is full of generosity, love, and grace where you least expect it.